If you please take your Bibles and turn with me now to the book of Psalms, Psalm 137. Our message series is called Home for Christmas. And what we're doing in this series is we're exploring the biblical theme of home throughout the scriptures from beginning to end. And we're doing that through the use of four words as a guide. And the four words that we're using as a guide are banished, wandering, longing, and home. Banished, wandering, longing, and home. And so far in our series, we've looked at the first two words. We looked at banished. We saw that God gave us a beautiful home in the garden, right? It was a beautiful home with Him. We enjoyed perfect fellowship with God in the garden, but we were banished from that home because of sin. And as a result, we now spend our lives, and here's our second word, wandering in sin, far from God. And so we're banished, we are separated from God because of our sins. We find ourselves wandering from God and His commands, wandering in sin. And now we come to our third word, which is longing. Not only are we banished from our original home with God and wandering because of sin, but God has built a longing for our true home with God into every human heart. We're going to be looking at a number of scriptures throughout our message this morning, but we're going to begin right here in Psalm 137. Right now, I'm just going to read verses 1 and 4, because we'll be reading the entirety of the psalm a little bit later on in the message. So Psalm 137, verse 1 and verse 4. Please stand with me for the reading of God's word. The psalmist writes, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land?" This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at these verses and others this morning, as we explore this longing that you've built into each of our hearts, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand this longing, what this longing is truly, really all about, and how you can satisfy our deepest longings in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. How many of you have ever been homesick? Anybody ever been homesick in your life? I see a lot of hands. How many of us have ever been away from home? We felt that deep longing for home in your heart. I remember when I first moved away from home after college, and home for me was in Massachusetts. And when I moved away from home, I decided to go West Coast, California. And I remember that first Thanksgiving away from home. That first Christmas, although God turned things around, I was able to get home for Christmas that year. I didn't know that was going to happen. But boy, homesickness is a real and true thing, isn't it? Most of us have felt this at one time or another, and it seems that this longing for home, that it only increases, right, during the holidays, right, when we're away from home. Did you know that homesickness was once considered an actual sickness? That's why we call it homesickness. It was considered an actual sickness capable of causing physical illness or even death. In fact, there are death certificates from the 1800s and earlier, and I think there's one even in 1918 is the latest one we can find, that list as the cause of death is listed the word nostalgia. Nostalgia as the cause of death. That word nostalgia comes from two Greek words, nostos, which means returning home, and algia, which means pain. And you think of neuralgia, nerve pain, right? Well, nostalgia is home pain, homesickness. And so homesickness was actually put on death certificates for a while in our country. We all experience a longing in our hearts. And whether we realize it or not, it is really a longing for God and our true home with Him. Banished from our true home with God because of sin, wandering far from God and His commands, we long for God and home and eternity. And this morning I want us to look at three different longings that we find in Scripture, although I believe they're really one longing at heart. We're going to look at a longing for home, a longing for eternity, and then finally, a longing for Jesus. There's an outline in your bulletin with all three of these points. listed there. If you'd like to take that out to follow along and the different scriptures we'll be looking at, maybe jot down some notes as God speaks something to your heart, you're welcome to do that. But first of all, a longing for home. And to look at this longing for home, I want us to look at the exiles in the Old Testament. The exiles in the Old Testament as an example of longing for home. We all have this built-in longing for home. We've all felt it when we're away from home, especially around the holidays, this nostalgia, this homesickness. And that's why the exile was really one of the most difficult experiences for the nation of Israel. Now, God had warned Israel about the exile before they even entered the promised land, before they even entered their homeland, the promised land. God had warned them. You go to the book of Deuteronomy, and before Israel had ever entered their home, God had laid out for them the blessings for obedience, the curses for disobedience, and after a long list, the very final curse in the list was for disobedience was exile. We find it in Deuteronomy 28, verse 65. And here it says, God says, "The Lord will scatter you among all nations, from one end of the earth to the other. And among those nations you will find no repose, no resting place for the sole of your foot. There the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing, and a despairing heart." And so God prophesied this through Moses back in Deuteronomy. What happened? Israel goes into the promised land. What happens? They're unfaithful to God. They worship other idols. And after many warnings, God gave them so many chances, one after another, and so many warnings from so many prophets, all that God had told earlier came true. In the year 722 B.C., first the Assyrians came, and they attacked the northern kingdom of Israel, took them all away to Assyria. And then 586 B.C., the Babylonians came, and they came to the southern kingdom, and they brought the southern kingdom into exile. And in Psalm 137, we began reading from it earlier in the service, we find really a heartbreaking description of Israel's longing for home. This is a psalm that was written in Babylon after the southern kingdom had gone into exile, and I believe it is perhaps one of the saddest songs ever written. Now, I want to read the whole psalm through for you, all nine verses. As we read through the psalm, just listen to the emotion in this psalm, the longing for home throughout the psalm. "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and we wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, 'Sing us one of the songs of Zion.' How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. 'Tear it down,' they cried. 'Tear it down to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is he who repays you for what you have done to us. Happy is he who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks.'" Now, those final words are very shocking to us. We read that, we go, whoa, is that in the Bible? Is that scripture? But really, is the entire psalm, it is full of longing and agony and distress. And that final cry is just simply the cry of anguish of the exiles. This is a particularly heartbreaking example of longing for home. And yet what we read here is true of all of us, because we are all spiritual exiles. We are all longing for home. And the scriptures repeatedly point us back to our true home in God. Remember, that's where we started this series, in our beautiful home with God in the garden, where we had unbroken fellowship with God. The scriptures point us back to our true home with God. David writes in Psalm 61, verse 4, he says, "Lord, I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings." Another psalmist, Korah, writes in Psalm 84, he says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Moses writes this in Psalm 90. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Lord, you have been our home throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. It's been said that there is within every one of us a God-shaped vacuum, an empty space that only God can fill. You know, people in our world, we try to fill that space with so much stuff. Sometimes we try to fill it with good things, like relationships or work or art or music. Other times we try to fill it with bad things, like drugs or alcohol or other things that do us harm. But let me tell you this morning, you are never going to fill that space with anything else except God, because it is a God-shaped vacuum, and only God can fill that empty space within you. We all have this built-in longing for our true home with God. One agnostic philosopher put it this way. He said, I don't believe in God, but I miss him. We are all spiritual exiles, and we all long for our true home with God. We are all longing, first of all, for home. We're longing for home. Secondly, we also find ourselves longing for eternity. We read this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. And yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And so God has set eternity in our hearts, and that means that we know deep down inside that there's something more than just this life, than just this world that we're living in. And that's the reason why we're never satisfied. Why it seems like we're always reaching for something, right? Just reaching for something that's just out of your grasp. Greg Kuchel, in his excellent book, The Story of Reality, writes about the kind of perfect world our hearts have always longed for, even when we cannot quite get it into focus. And the longing itself is a clue for us, an ache in our hearts reminding us of the way things used to be, a sign that we were made for something better, though for the moment we have lost our way, and a hunger for the world to be that way again. God has put eternity in our hearts, and that sweet pain may be evidence of it, a primal memory deep in our souls reminding us of the way the world started, good, wonderful, whole, complete. C.S. Lewis spoke about our lifelong nostalgia, our longing to be reunited with something in the universe from which we now feel cut off, to be the inside of some door, to be on the inside of some door which we have always seen from the outside. Well, what's on the inside of that door, the other side of that door? Eternity. We're longing for eternity. And that longing for eternity is itself a clue that eternity exists. Let me read from C.S. Lewis again. He writes this so well. He says, creatures are not born with desires unless the satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger. Well, there's such a thing as food. A duckling desires to swim. Well, there's such a thing as water. People feel sexual desire. Well, there's such a thing as sex. And Lewis goes on, he says, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, then the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy, it does not mean that the universe is a fraud, but probably earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but rather to arouse it and to suggest the real thing. How does the Bible put it? God has set eternity in our hearts. And we know deep down in our hearts that there must be more to this life. And as believers, we know what we've been longing for. We know that we're longing for eternity, and we long for our eternal home with God in heaven. We read this in Hebrews chapter 11. This is about the Old Testament saints who lived by faith. Hebrews 11:16 says that they were longing. There's our word again. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Jump over to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, that we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. And meanwhile, what do? We groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. As long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. See, as Christians in this world, we live by faith, not by sight. And we're not only longing for home, we are longing for eternity. God has set that in our hearts. We long for our eternal home. And folks, all of these longings for home and for eternity, all of these longings that we try to fill in so many ways, in the long run, what we're really longing for, we're longing for Jesus. And that's really what the season of Advent is all about. Once again, the word Advent means coming. Advent is all about longing for Jesus and his coming. In the Old Testament, the believers longed for Christ's first coming. God gave them the prophecies, Messiah is coming. And then in the New Testament, as Christians today, now we long for Christ's second coming. Let's look at each of those briefly. During Advent season, we reflect on how God's people in the Old Testament waited for Christ to come the first time. God had promised to send the Messiah. The people waited, and they waited, and they waited through so many long years, centuries of darkness and desperation, waiting for Messiah to come. And they clung to prophecies like Isaiah chapter 9, where we read this, the people walking in darkness. They said, that's us. We're the people walking in darkness. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. It was a prophecy. He was telling them about what was going to happen. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And these prophecies were fulfilled when Jesus was born at Bethlehem. And God sent his son Jesus as the promised Messiah. Jesus was born into our world at Christmas. He lived with us. He loved us. He taught us. He healed us. He died for us. He rose again. He returned to heaven. And now, just as the Old Testament believers longed for Christ and his first coming, now we long for Christ and his second coming. The Apostle Paul writes this in 2 Timothy 4. It's near the end of his life. He writes this to Timothy. He says, Tim, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to whom? To all who have longed for his appearing. And so as Christians, we long for Christ's return, and that is also part of what Advent is all about. And so we sing these songs like, oh, come, Emmanuel, or come, thou long-expected Jesus. And when we sing those songs, we're not only remembering that longing for Christ's first coming at Christmas, but we are expressing our own longing here and now in the present for when Christ will return and will make all things right. Folks, we all have this built-in longing for home. But our true home is found in God alone. Christ came the first time to make a way for us, a way home for us to God. Christ will come a second time to bring us home with him for eternity. And all of this longing we've been talking about this morning, this longing for God and home and eternity, it's all a longing for Jesus. Because only Jesus can fill the longing in your heart. And that is why we celebrate him at Christmas. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the message of Christmas. The Messiah has come. A Savior has been born. We are banished. We are wandering. We are longing. And Jesus came to bring us home. Lord, I pray that you would work these truths deep into our hearts this Christmas season. As we approach Christmas Eve tomorrow night and Christmas Day, may we give you great praise and honor and glory. For Christ has come, a Savior has been born, and we can all go home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.